How many here realize that we have been given authority in Jesus' name? Over sickness, over disease, over demons. And how many also realize that God has given you authority over yourself? Over your sinful nature, that old sinful nature, amen? That's not supposed to live any longer, but Christ in you. In Him we live. And God is the one who does the work in our hearts. We can make external changes. We can make adjustments to our life. We can have New Year's resolutions. We can, you know, change a habit or two and quit doing some things in life. But one thing that we cannot do is change our hearts. And God is not able to change your heart unless you're willing to give it to Him. And sometimes, though, what people believe is Christianity is simply trying to put a new patch on an old garment. That somehow we're just going to add to the old, ugly, dead thing something beautiful. But God says you cannot add or put a new patch on an old garment, right? Or it could, you know, shrink and make the tear worse, you know? He says you've got to have a new garment. You have to exchange the old for the new. So as long as you're just trying to improve your life or to patch up your life, you're going to be living defeated. Because you cannot live out of the old nature. The sin nature or the Adamic nature cannot please God. It's impossible. We can do all kinds of good deeds in our flesh, but they amount to zero. Because Jesus said, only what's done in me. Amen? Amen. Yeah. You can, apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. So we have to learn how to abide and to place our full confidence, our full trust in God's ability and no longer in our own. And this is not an easy thing when you're used to a certain way. Living a certain way, thinking a certain way. So our minds have to be renewed. You can be born of God's Spirit and yet your mind can be completely hostile yet, you know, to the things of God. Again, you and I don't have the ability to change ourselves, really. We can make some adjustments. We are responsible for what we do with our life. God gave us charge in that way. Because sometimes we just want to say, well, if God does it, then okay. But otherwise, I can't do anything. It's actually a false teaching for someone to suggest that we're helpless. The gospel of helplessness, if you will. I just couldn't help it. God, you're going to have to do something because I can't do it. You know, God says, yoke up with me, join with me, connect with me, abide with me, cling to me, continue with me. And as we are in union, as we are walking together in this fellowship, you will have life, you will have peace, you will have all that you have need of to live victoriously over your Adamic nature, over this world system, amen, over the devil. But it's your responsibility, it's my responsibility to take charge of myself. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control.
Yes, amen.
God gives us the ability to control ourselves. Remember Flip Wilson years ago had the saying, the devil made me do it?
Yeah.
Well, you know, outside of Christ, he can very easily make you do it. But in Christ, that's no longer the case. If you are in Christ, if Christ is in you, you are a new creation. You're not a patch-up. You actually have become a new creation. So we've got to get to the place where we realize that in myself, there's no good thing. You know, Paul, the apostle, said that, you know, I find that in me, there's no good thing. He came to the conclusion that his righteousness was Christ. His holiness was Christ. His redemption was Christ. All that he had need of was in Christ. Christ, if you will, is the sum of all spiritual things. He is the foundation of it all. He is the center, has to be the center of it all in our lives. People are trying to find their center. I've said it before. And, well, if you're just looking to yourself and to your center, well, you're not going to like what you find. Amen? And it's the Spirit of God that illuminates us, that enlightens us, and helps us to see who we really are. When you are really getting close to God, or you're having an encounter of being illuminated by the Spirit of God, you'll begin to see the contrast between God's holiness and your unholiness. You see, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A person who claims to know God but lives according to their sin nature does not know God. Mm-hmm. If you live an indulgent life, indulging your flesh, and you claim to know God, you're a liar. Because the fear of the Lord, that reverential awe of who He is, His holiness, as Isaiah saw the Lord, and he was undone in His presence. He thought he was okay until he had an encounter with the real living God. Amen? In Isaiah 6. So, the closer we're getting to Him, the more we realize how holy He is and how unholy we are apart from Him, so that we can only cast ourselves down at His feet and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You see, the problem is that people are not brought to a place where they realize that they are a sinner. We've all blown it. We've all made mistakes. And we can say, yeah, I've blown it. I made a few mistakes. Jesus, would you forgive me? Come into my heart. Be my Savior. But if you've never been brought to a place where you have truly become aware of His holiness, you haven't had that revelation. Because when you see God, like Job heard of God, remember, in the hearing of his ear. But then he had a revelation of God. And he was undone, just like Isaiah. He said, I hate myself. What I see, I don't like. And folks, we have to come to the place where we see how wretched and poor and miserable and blind we are before we can even come to God with the right heart. With a contrite and broken heart. And repentance, true repentance, isn't just, God, get me out of this mess. But God, I am in trouble. Woe is me. God, I repent. Zacchaeus didn't just say, I'm sorry. Zacchaeus had a change of heart. He started, you know, paying people back. He did more than just say, God, I'm sorry. He says, I'm going to do something about the way I've been living. He had repented. See, a lot of people just think, I just need to say this prayer and I'm saved, and then I just continue to live any way I want. They don't know God. Because when you have the encounter and you getting that revelation of His holiness, you will begin to fear God. You'll have that sense of awe and wonder and how mighty and how awesome and how powerful God is, and that I can't come before this holy God with my own righteousness. I can't come before God and say, God, look what I did, and look at all the good works I do, and I've been a hard-working, tax-paying citizen, you know, and I've helped the people out here, and I've helped people there in my life, and but what does the Bible say? But what is our righteousness? It's like filthy rags. How righteous is righteous enough? When will you achieve that level of righteousness that merits heaven. Never. The only thing we can do is come to the end of ourselves and say, God, I don't like this thing that I am. I recognize that I am sinful. That literally I am a monster. I've been corrupted by the seed of the serpent. Amen. And I need deliverance from myself. And so, God, I give you my heart. I give you my life. I surrender it all to you. I lay it down at the altar. I die to myself. And I ask you to take over, to be Lord, to come into my heart, make me a new creation. I want to touch on something that I've been touching on, but I want to kind of get into it a little bit more this morning. And this is the power of God and holiness. The power of God and holiness. Now, some of you have heard this before, but I remember years ago, probably in the late 80s or so, maybe early 90s, David Wilkerson did a test in his church where he had lined up people on two sides of the church. He says, now, all of those who want holiness, I want you to go on this side. And all of you who want power, go on this side. And he had pretty much a split, you know, in the church. You had people that wanted power and you had people that wanted holiness. Does anybody see a problem with that? Because you need the power of God and holiness, both. The holiness that we're talking about is a responsibility that we have to tell our body what to do. Because your body is like, remember, the five-year-old that needs to listen. Amen? To the adult. That's the Holy Spirit in your spirit. Amen? And so, holiness is His life in us. He makes me holy. He makes me righteous. I cannot achieve holiness. I cannot achieve righteousness. There, that way it would be me working towards some standard. And then comes the question, and so many people live in this place of bondage, is when do I reach that place or that pinnacle of finally arriving at righteousness or holiness? And unfortunately, if we're not careful, we'll give the message that somehow you have to make yourself holy. Holiness is really the fruit of God. It's got to be of Him and by Him that we're holy. Otherwise, we're legalists. You know, we've got our rule book of do's and don'ts. That was the law, folks. The law is perfect. The law is holy. The law is good. The law of God. But the problem is that in ourselves, we are unable to keep the law. Amen. So Jesus Christ came to fulfill the law and to set us free and to bring us into a new creation, a relationship with Him where His Spirit comes to dwell within us. It cries out, Abba Father, and we enter into relationship with our Heavenly Father. Amen. And we pray in the Holy Spirit. And we build ourselves up in the Holy Spirit. And we strengthen ourselves in the Holy Spirit. Amen? And the closer we get to God, and the greater the capacity God has to fill our lives, the less our sin nature can tell us what to do. Amen? How many would be honest today and say, you know, there are times in my life when I haven't prayed like I should, I haven't been connected to the body of Christ like I should. Amen? And what was the result of that? Did you have victory? No. You find very quickly, if you disconnect from the source of life, who is Jesus Christ, that you'll start to wither. Amen? And that old, ugly nature will begin to resurface again. And all of a sudden, where you once had patience, you're impatient. Where you once had control over your anger, now you're angry. Because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's why Jesus said, pray. You must pray. Could you not watch 1 hour, he said. You know, I know there's times, folks, that all we have time for is a quick pop-up prayer. You know, you're in your car, you're running somewhere, you just call on the Lord. And the Lord honors that, doesn't he? He hears us. He's with us. We don't have to, you know, it's not about going and doing your Hail Marys or doing some kind of ritual at church. Amen. It's about a relationship, walking with Jesus. But how many would agree with me that it's important that we take time to spend alone with God? That we have a personal walk with him. Amen. And because we need his grace. We cannot overcome apart from him. We're unrighteous apart from his righteousness. We're unholy apart from his holiness. And he is your holiness. He's the source. As I abide in him, I live holy. Amen? As I abide in him, I abide in righteousness. We are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're actually to put him on like clothing. We're to be clothed in him. There's intimacy that has to take place in the Spirit for that to happen. When the two become one, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Now, it's really unacceptable for a child of God to say, I'm just a sinner and willfully serve the sin nature. Often that line is used as an excuse to indulge the sin nature. Well, I'm just a sinner. And I know people think this is heresy, but folks, if you are in Christ and you're a new creation, you're no longer, by identity, a sinner.
That's right. Amen.
If you're still a sinner, then you are a slave. And you're not a son or a daughter. You're either a slave to sin or a son or a child of God, if you will. So it's a matter of who we choose to serve. We're either going to serve the sin nature or we're going to serve the Lord. Romans 6:11 says, likewise, you also reckon yourselves or consider yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. So turn to your neighbor and say, there's no excuse for me indulging my sin nature. In other words, the sin nature is no longer to control me, but I control it. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I discipline, beat. In some translations, it means to be very harsh in discipline. I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified, as in a race. So, here's an example. If someone hurts you, what does your sin nature want to do? Punch their lights out? Cry? take revenge? Hate the person? How about refuse to forgive? And or not allow cancellation of that debt. You owe me. When somebody is in unforgiveness, they're holding something against them. Or how about if a person is tempted with pornography? Big problem today, isn't it? The sin nature wants to indulge it, make light of it, rationalize it. Your sin nature will tell you, guys, just a little look, no big deal. You can repent later. You ever heard that voice before? That's the wrong voice. Because yes, it's true. Jesus will forgive sin, but there is a price to pay for yielding to the flesh. Look at this, Luke 11, verse 24. How many, most of us know this very well, but think about it in this context. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. How many have ever had this happen? Where you got free from something and you went back and reindulged it? And then it was worse. And it happened as he spoke these things that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you. But listen to how Jesus answers this. This is good. Verse 28. More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 says, It's better not to know the way than to know it and turn from it. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. Now in the New Living Translation, it says it this way, verse 20. And when people escape from the wickedness of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and then get tangled up and enslaved by sin again, they are worse off than before. It would be better if they had never known the way of righteousness than to know it and then reject the command they were given to live a holy life. So God said, be holy, didn't he? Hebrews 12:14, he said, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. So what do we need to do? We need to take charge by the authority God has given us in Christ. Take charge not only of sickness, demons, because a lot of people are just, yeah, we want the power of God. Give me the power of God. I want to do these things. But God also gives you the authority to take captive yourself. Amen. Take control of yourself. And unfortunately, we have too many people that are just pursuing power, but they're not abiding in His holiness. And as a result, they leave a bad taste. You know what I'm talking about? You got all these people that run around and they prophesy and they want to be involved in all the gifts and the miracles and all this. But folks, if your life is not presenting Christ, if your character is not, amen, right, then it's a bad testimony. As a matter of fact, Jesus said there will even be those who will come and say, Lord, Lord, haven't we prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonderful works in your name? And Jesus is going to say to those, he says, well, depart from me. I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. Wow. Judas was one of the 12. Judas was involved in the miracles. in the ministry. But Judas was shipwrecked. He was destroyed. You ever thought about that? And when Jesus said, one of you guys is going to betray me, and how they sat around the table and they said, Lord, is it me? How many know that we all have the potential to turn our back on the Lord? And that's why Jesus warned us to watch and pray, to stay connected, to continue with Him, to pray. Your spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And if you don't take charge of your flesh, you'll be in big trouble. We've got to submit to the Spirit of God. You know, sometimes what we want to do is coddle our sin nature. You know, when it tries to seduce us. You've ever rebuked yourself before? I got to do it all the time. I mean, I can be walking through the grocery store, or I'm getting ready to check out, and you get all those magazines and the stuff that's just staring at you guys. You know what I'm talking about? And I'm looking once, and then all of a sudden it's like I want to go back for a second look, and the Spirit of God is there saying, what do I got to do? I got to say no. Just rebuke that. Rebuke yourself. Not going there. You, in Christ Jesus, have the authority to control yourself. God will hold you accountable and responsible for how you represent Him in this world. We claim to be followers of Jesus. The world is watching us. And I can remember when I wasn't a Christian, and I knew a lot of people who said they were Christians, but I didn't see a whole lot of Christianity. You know what I'm talking about? And we give the devil an opportunity to blaspheme, you know, when we're not living the way we should. We're not taking charge of our lives as God has given us that ability to do so by His grace that He supplies to us through His Holy Spirit. All that we have need of is freely given to us in Christ. All the grace, all the mercy, all the help is freely given to us in Christ. But we have to come to Him. We have to come before the throne of grace. We have to cry out to God and say, Lord, help me. Grant me grace. Grant me my daily bread. The grace I need for this day. I can't do this apart from You. You know, even we see this type in Cain and Abel in Genesis 4. Remember the story when they both brought offerings before the Lord, and Abel brought the first of his flock, you know, to present to the Lord. And Cain, being a man who farmed and tilled the ground, he brought of his produce to the Lord, you know. And we can get into the debate of, well, was it because it wasn't a blood sacrifice? But what happened is, because Cain was rejected and Abel was accepted, or as the sacrifice was, Cain rose up against his brother. Remember the story? And he slew him. It was the first murder in the Bible. And the Lord said in verse 7 of Genesis 4, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you. But He says, but you shall rule over it. In the New Living Translation, it says, you will be accepted if you do what is right, but if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master. You must subdue sin and be its master. Why? Because sin shall not have dominion over you in Christ. We see a type here. That God has given us the ability to control ourselves. It's whether or not you choose to. But know this, that there are consequences for refusing to listen to the voice of the Lord. And sometimes, folks, irreversible consequences. Even though you may be forgiven, you may have to live with the consequences of refusing to listen to the voice of the Lord. Is there a witness in here today, somebody? Anybody here are living with some consequences because we knew, but we refused to listen? Oh, how often we blame God for the things that we do because we're not listening. How many know that God is good? I want to talk about one more here, or maybe more, but one more. How about this deception? Religious pride. A proud spirit. The deception of the sinful nature is also religious pride. Because religious pride tells us that we are better than others. Because we've had success, hear me, in overcoming our sinful nature. People get proud of their accomplishments because they're so holy and so righteous and so good, and they're so unholy, unrighteous, and they're not good at all. And we can get into the competition. We can get into the comparing ourselves to others, like the Pharisee who stood and said, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. See, he didn't have the revelation of God's holiness. The publican beat his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He knew who he was. And he went down to his house justified. Religious pride tells us that we're superior to others because we have some gift or because God has used us in some way. Folks, especially in charismatic Pentecostal circles, this is big. Comparing, competing, super spiritualism. Well, I'm just more spiritual than you are. I'm a superior Christian to you. You ever run anybody like that? They're always competing with you. You went a mile, they went 2 miles. You had a miracle, they had a greater miracle. You know what you see in that? You see the real center of that is self. It's self. Look at me. We're not in agape. We're not in love when it's about us. We're in the love of God when it's about Jesus. It's not about making, amen, a name for ourselves, drawing attention to ourselves, but drawing attention to Jesus. The Holy Spirit will point us to Jesus every time. Does he not? A true prophet, a true representative of the Lord, never does anything to draw attention to themselves. They draw attention to the one who sent them. An ambassador does not represent themselves to the people, but they represent the one who sent them. We've been called to represent Jesus, to make him famous, and to fulfill his mandate, to do what he's called us to do. If he tells us to say this, we say that. If he tells us to do this, we do this. Why? Because any ambassador who goes to a foreign nation with his own agenda is going to be jerked out of there real fast. But it happens. The enemy comes along and says, oh, you're just a little bit more spiritual than the next guy. Because you have this gift. Because God's used you this way. You ever had that happen? You ever meet anybody where, you know, they're a pretty humble person and all of a sudden something happened or God used them and all of a sudden they just start getting cocky about it? You know, I don't know why. Because the enemy wants to get us proud. The enemy wants to make it about us and not about Jesus. Because he knows if we get full of ourselves again, he can take us out. We're vulnerable. That's what's happened to many of the high-profile preachers who were anointed, and some of them still are, anointed of God, used mightily. Televangelists, some of those guys are anointed of God. God is using them. Amen? And they're not all bad folks. Amen? But the devil got a hold of some of those guys because they started to get big and they started hearing all these wonderful things being said about them. And then all of a sudden the enemy comes along and says, aren't you something? And we start to get proud of ourselves, you know? And then we start looking at other people like they're maybe just a little bit below us. Isn't it interesting that Jesus wasn't that way? Here's the Master, the creator of the universe, becoming an invisible seed to the naked eye, amen? Being planted in the womb, being born in a stable, a carpenter's son, amen? Blue collar worker, if you will, and coming and just kind of hanging out with people, even with sinners. My goodness. Jesus. He's Lord. Made himself of no reputation. Took upon himself the form of a servant. He came not to do his will, but the Father's will. This is what you and I are called to do. Is to lay our agendas down, to lay our ego down, to get ourselves out of the picture, amen, and make Jesus the center of it all. We're here to represent him, to make him famous. If somebody doesn't shake your hand, if they don't notice you, if you don't have a high-profile ministry or a pulpit ministry or televangelist, whatever, so what? What matters is that Jesus, amen, is glorified. That he is made famous. That we are pointing men and women, boys and girls to him. Because the day is coming when we're all going to see him face to face. And what have we done with what he gave us and with what he invested in us? Did we use it to make a name for ourselves, or do we make a name for him? Folks, I say this because I'm around a lot of other ministers, interacting with ministers, you know, and I've been in this for quite a while now. And I see so much of where the enemy gets in and starts to get us proud, you know, and then it becomes a competition, a competing, comparing, you know, well, how many are you running, you know, how big, how much, yeah, you can tell some of them, they just completely have gotten caught up in themselves, and the problem with that is the next thing you know is, you know, pride cometh before what? The fall. I'm just thankful that the Father loves us so much that he disciplines us. And he knows how to get our attention, doesn't he? Folks, let me just say this. There's a lot of arrogance even among the very poorest. You know, it's the same problem. You're either a down and outer or an up and outer, amen? But without Christ, you're out. And it's not about us anymore. I once lived for self. Now I have to live for Christ. Let me say it this way. Now I get to live for Christ. The new life. The joy of serving him. And you know, when the Father's pleased, you'll know it. The Father is the one that validates us now. Amen? I don't have to have you shake my hand and say, however, if you say it, I'll still appreciate it. But great sermon today, Pastor, you know. But, you know, it's not about that. I don't have to have that. I do need to have the Father say, you did good. And if I'm off course, I want to hear that too. He said, you did good here, but over here, not so good. Learn from it. Amen? And he does that with me too. I have to go to the shed once in a while. I don't like it, but it's good for me. But I want to please the Lord because his heart is in me. The desires in me are the ones that he placed there. He's working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So we just want to be authentic. We just want to be real. And we just want to submit ourselves to God and understand, folks, that whatever we're doing is going to either bring honor or dishonor to His name. As His people, we have to really examine what we allow, even as a liberty, in our lives. Amen? If it could potentially cause someone else to stumble. Because if I don't care about that, I'm not really walking in love, am I? My agenda is more important than someone else's soul. We got to come to God and we got to lay it all down. Say, God, I'm done. I'm done with my stuff. I'm done with my ways. I'm done with my things. I'm laying them all down at the altar. And now I'm asking you to tell me which one I can keep and which one has to go. Do you know what? God doesn't take away everything that you enjoy doing. But there are some things that God is saying, it's not good. It's weighing you down. It may not necessarily be a sin, but it can be a weight. It can be weighing you down and keeping you from finishing your course with joy. One more, okay? Jesus wants us to treat our sin nature as if it were a cancer. All right? In Matthew 18:8, how many remember this one? If your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life lame or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into the everlasting fire. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. We need to stop rationalizing, justifying ourselves. If God says no, it means no. If the Spirit of God in you says no, it means no. Amen? If God says yes, okay, great. You have liberty in the Lord. Amen? But if my liberty in any way would cause someone else to stumble, I don't do that either. I don't need to. And I'm going to say this one more time, but a person who knows God will have great respect for God. The more we know God, the greater our respect for God. I've been around Christians for a long time now. And sometimes I can remember when I was even fairly a new Christian. I was working in Puyallup at Panasonic for a while there. And I came out of such darkness and into the light, and I was all excited for Jesus, on fire for God, and I just wanted to talk to people and tell them about Jesus, and I carried a great big King James Bible with me everywhere, you know, and I was just going to witness, you know, because the Bible says, oh, tell people about Jesus. Okay, I'm telling you about Jesus, you know. But I remember getting around Christians, and they would, you know, they would toss around an inappropriate joke, you know. And I remember thinking, man, is there something wrong with me? They're laughing at this. And inside I'm feeling like, that ain't right. We shouldn't be laughing at that stuff, you know. We shouldn't be indulging. Or they're indulging in things of like, you do that? You know, and I was trying not to be a snob or, you know, self-righteous snob. But something was grieving me inside. And then I started praying. I said, God, is... maybe I'm the odd duck here. You ever feel that way, that you're an odd duck? Because you're just not, you know, and I'm talking about people that claim to be followers of Jesus, and yet they're indulging the sin nature. Did I say that because I just thought I was so righteous in saying that? No. I think we need to pay attention to the Spirit of God within us. The Spirit will bear witness with your spirit. And if something is not right, He's going to prick you. He's going to give you a little nudge and say, don't do that. Listen, folks, do not resist His voice. Do not. Listen to His voice. He's warning you. Because what happens is some people continue to resist the Spirit of God, even as believers, and their hearts become callous. They become hardened and insensitive to the Spirit of God. And then they begin, even as believers, to indulge in things that at one time would make you blush. And now it's no big deal. And then we still come to church. We sing the songs. We do this stuff, you know, because we are actually drawing near to God with our lips, but our heart is distant. We want people to think we're all that when really we're not. I don't want to be fake. Amen? We don't want to be hypocrites. We want to be real about where I'm at, what's going on in my life. We need to be open. We need to be transparent. We need to be honest before God. If you want to get better, if you want to get healed, if you want to get restored in your soul, you're going to have to be honest with God and say, Lord, I realize I'm not all that. I may be fooling people, but I'm certainly not fooling you. And how good it is to have a clear conscience, to have peace in your heart, to have confidence. Amen. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of death. I know where I'm going. Amen? Because I'm in right standing with the Lord. I'm in His righteousness and not in my own. I'm abiding in the vine and bearing the good fruit of His life. I'm expressing Jesus in every place. Apart from Him, I can do nothing. So when it comes to dealing with demons, dealing with sickness, and dealing with the sin nature, take no prisoners. Yes, amen? Amen? Yep. Don't enter into covenant with the devil. Don't make deals with the devil. Oh. Amen? Don't compromise. Deal with your sin nature ruthlessly. Yeah. We are in a war. We are in a battle. And we're in this to win. We're in this to overcome. Deal a death blow, amen, to your sin nature. Absolutely refuse it daily. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. God will give you the grace if you call on Him, if you trust Him. Hallelujah. It's His will that His people overcome the world, the flesh and the devil. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Hallelujah. Jesus, we just thank You today for Your Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We thank You for the Word of God. Father, I ask You to strengthen my brothers and sisters. Strengthen us all with might in the inner man. Lord, I pray that You would fill us with Your holy power, Your presence to permeate us, Lord, to saturate us. God, we ask You to clothe us in Your righteous armor. Lord, each one of us, shut us in with You. Draw us to You. Set our hearts on fire for You. Hallelujah. Jesus, thank You.